Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to In the Studio with your girl, Linus. How y'all doing today? I hope so far this week it's Wednesday, but I hope that your week has been going pretty good. So right now it's about, about 3 minutes after 6 on the West Coast, and it's 9 o'clock on the East Coast. Hope you folks are having a good evening over there. Well, welcome everyone to In the Studio with Linus. It's every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. on the West Coast and 9 on the East Coast. We'll be discussing entertainment news, hot topics, sports, news of the weird, always something to laugh about and learn, of course. Call in and join the show with your comments or opinion. All are welcome. Remember to keep it respectable. The chat room is open. You're more than welcome to go in there and discuss whatever. The phone number to the show is area code 646-727-2914. That's area code 646-727-2914. If there is a subject matter you would like to see discussed, send me a message on facebook.com/ The Essence of Success Network. Well, let's get right to it. I usually start off, y'all, with entertainment news, but I'll tell you what, today, because there's such a big hubbub about the UFC featherweight champion Conor McGregor's sudden retirement announcement through social media, just rocked the sports world today, yesterday. But anyway, so let's find out what the fallout is from that, and I'm going to play a little clip for you, and then we're going to talk about it, okay? Hold on.
Per Dana White, who's in?
Yeah, that's a great question. I guarantee you they are trying to answer that question over at the UFC headquarters right now. And to me, there are only a few options. You know, Nate Diaz is going to try to keep him on the card, and he has developed into a star all on his own, but I don't think he is the guy to headline your big landmark event UFC 200. So what does that leave? Well, you have George St. Pierre, who is currently retired, but he has been mentioning that he wants to make a comeback. Everybody around him is saying he wants to make a comeback. He's even stated publicly that he's in negotiations with the UFC. What kind of money would it take for him to pull him back in and have him headline UFC 200? I think the most likely option, quite frankly, is the guy who's fighting this weekend, John Jones, the former light heavyweight champion. He comes back and fights Ovin St. Preux this weekend in Las Vegas. And if he looks good, I could see him making a quick turnaround and fighting Daniel Cormier, who he was originally supposed to fight this weekend. But, of course, Cormier had to pull out with a leg injury. Cormier is doing everything he can to get back as soon as possible. And he even told me last week that he is hopeful he could be ready by a July timeframe.
Before I let you go, just quickly back to McGregor. The retirement talk is what it is. It was 13 simple words in a tweet that set the sports world afire. Dana White said this has only happened one other time before, where a guy pulling out for refusing to promote a fight. How weird is that? Refusing to promote a fight that will pay you millions of dollars.
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me, I guess, that White would bring that up, because on the surface it looks like the same thing happening there, but these were two totally different things. And I think for McGregor specifically, you know, he's in Iceland. As we've been talking about today, you know, he just witnessed a fight last week in which one of the fighters ended up dying due to injuries that occurred in the ring. And I just don't think that this guy was in a place where he wanted to fly to Las Vegas and spend hours and hours promoting a fight. That's a difficult chore to do when you're ready to do it, when you feel like you're motivated and you want to do it. I got to believe it's an impossible task when you've got something like that on your mind, and he didn't want to do it.
Okay.
If you misplaced.
Okay, so let's see what the rest of the story is. So McGregor, he's had 19 wins and only 3 losses. He's 27 years old. He has yet to speak publicly on the matter and was pulled from his main event slot at UFC 200 on July 9th, leaving the promotion to scramble to replace his welterweight rematch against Nate Diaz. So what does the roundtable think? Well, first up, what's the best option for UFC 200 replacement main event to maintain the same level of buzz? Well, one, there's Breck Okamoto. The best option would be Ronda Rousey, but I don't see her. This is from the roundtable now. Brett Okamoto is one of the sports announcers coming back before that November time frame that she has already set. The second best option would probably be bringing former welterweight champion George St. Pierre from his own retirement. But, Elias, I also don't think they're realistic if St. Pierre returns. I expect it to happen in the fall, so I believe very strongly that if John Jones comes out of Saturday's interim title fight against Ovin St. Preux at UFC 197 healthy and Daniel Cormier's leg heals in time, their rematch is what we'll see at UFC 200. Will the buzz for the fight match what Diaz McGregor 2 would have produced? I guess not quite, but it won't be that far behind. If Jones loses to OSP, all bets are off. Now, Mike Hoing had this to say. Brett mentioned in the video above that whispers of St. Pierre return are possible, and I think something like GSP Nate Diaz at 170 pounds could save UFC 200, unless Diaz's own tweet about retirement was serious. Now, Reed Coombs said UFC 200 is already stacked, and while it was expected, the fans will pay close attention to a rematch between McGregor and Diaz. It was hardly the most important matchup on the card for the UFC's various title pitchers. There are still 2 belts on the line, y'all, and a number of potential contenders fighting to hold their spot in the mix. From a buzzworthy standpoint, however, nothing could top St. Pierre, Anderson Silva, Fedor Emelianenko got over his octagon jitters and threw a gauntlet down at heavyweight champion Fabrício Werdum. The odds of either happening are very slim, especially since 3 out of the 4 of these guys are currently booked for fights this summer, and GSP is another ongoing question mark. Brian Campbell says one can only imagine the cries emanating from UFC headquarters of "Help me, GSP, you're our only hope." A Star Wars reference might be appropriate in this case because it will take a star of McGregor's proportion to produce the same level of buzz. And with Rousey not expected to return until November, well, a St. Pierre comeback from a self-imposed 3-year hiatus against a current welterweight champion, Robbie Lawler, or Lawler, however you want to pronounce it, is the only option capable for exactly that. Now, in McGregor's absence, which fighter steps in, y'all, to take the title of the UFC's biggest star? John Jones will step inside the octagon for his first fight since January 2015 when he takes Ovince St. Preux on Saturday at UFC 197. Well, this is what Okamoto has to say. In the short term, is John Jones. Before McGregor and Rousey ruled 2015, it was John Jones. He's widely considered the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, and he's obviously polarizing. His legal issues last year, and not the other fighters should try to mimic this, might actually make him a bigger star after all. Everyone loves a comeback story. Jones walks a fine line between MMA icon and complete self-destruction that captures people's attention. And, of course, few are more fun to watch in the octagon than Jones. He has the ability to compete in 2 weight classes. A future move to heavyweight is all but guaranteed. Now, Haynes says, I wish we could see Demetrius Johnson carry the load, but he's at the point of saturation. He has won so much that no one cares, and fans are not interested in flyweights, which is a shame because they are so energetic and skilled. Johnson defends his title in the co-main event Saturday, and unbeaten Henry Cejudo will test Johnson, but ultimately I think John Jones returns in the main event could buoy the UFC. McGregor's wheelhouse it was his ability to attract both haters and fans. People loved him or hated him, okay? But what that really means is double the audience. I think Jones has stepped over to play the role of the heel, which is cavalier, attitude, and personal problems. Haters want to see him get his tail handed to him, and fans revel in his dominance. Either way, Jones will rise again. Cohen says, well, if McGregor does walk away, it will be difficult to replicate his powerful persona combined with his dominance inside the cage. Only a few fighters can even enter the conversation on skill alone, and then they have to be able to pull off the attitude with style, which can't be faked. Among the current lineup, only John Jones and women's strawweight champion Johanna Jay fit that bill. Rousey previously did, but a big loss does a lot to kill the mystique. Newly crowned middleweight champion Luke Rockhold has potential to dominate while also displaying a persona that attracts fans. Now, Campbell says it's still Rousey the moment she returns in November. He's pulling in her corner. As devastating as her upset loss to Holly Holm appeared at the time to her brand and the UFC's bottom line, Miesha Tate's dramatic title win against Holm leveled the playing field. Suddenly, the women's bantamweight division is red hot again, y'all. And while fans first flocked to Rousey because of her image and of invincibility, okay, even more will connect with her newfound sense of humility as she attempts to regain all that was lost, okay? It's Rousey's crossover potential to those who wouldn't normally watch the UFC. Without her there, that also allows her to trump Jones. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, then we're going to get even to more if McGregor will ever fight again, because I know y'all just biting at the bit waiting to know, huh? I know I am. Okay, be back in 2. I'm sorry. We're back. Welcome to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. Sorry for that. I forgot I had it on mute. Anyway, that phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. The chat room is open. Go in there. You can either call and discuss what's going on or whatever comments that you may have, or if you don't want to come on the air, you can go into the chat room. And we do welcome all the listeners from around the world. Thank you for joining and supporting the show. So the top thing in the sports news today, which I've been discussing since the show started, is about McGregor. Conor McGregor announced today he's only 27 years old. I mean, not today, but yesterday, that he's retiring. And it just kind of shocked the UFC world, like, are you kidding? And he's one of their top drawers. I'll just put it like that for people to come see. So where we're at now in the discussion, if McGregor never fights again, how do we rank him historically? Should he never fight again, Conor McGregor will be remembered just as much for his mouth and ability to sell tickets. Hello, what did I just say? As for his victories inside the octagon. Now, roundtable folks, sports folks, this is what they had to say. Excuse me. I think I've got the hiccups. Okamoto said, it's not easy to do this from a competitive aspect for a few reasons. First of all, he really wouldn't have had a full career. No one retires at 27 while holding the keys to the game, as McGregor likes to say. Comparing him to others who fought well into their 30s is a task. Secondly, there were so many odd circumstances surrounding many of his biggest fights. McGregor has fought 8 times in the UFC. His opponents have been changed in half of those several times at essentially the last minute. That makes it hard to put some of his wins and this one loss into perspective because there were unique variables involved. I don't think you can rank him inside the top 10, probably not inside the top 20 either. But if you're talking influence on the game, he's on a very short list for number one all time, in my opinion. McGregor has taken the sport to another level in the United States and Europe and negotiated paydays not seen in this sport. And that is from sports announcer Okamoto. Now, sports announcer Hong, he says McGregor's meteoric rise to greatness was as swift as his surprise exit. In other sports with greatness was cut short by injuries or early retirement. Gale Sayers, Bo Jackson, Bernard King. There's still some macadam of track record to judge. I think McGregor's got enough, but it falls short of any Hall of Fame, and certainly outside any of the greatest featherweight or greatest pound-for-pound discussions. The UFC title have been so fluid and interchanging the past 2 years that you can't compare any achievement to the runs had by Anderson Silva, St. Pierre, or Matt Hughes. Perhaps McGregor was just another champion in this era of fluidity, albeit a very charismatic one. Okay, and from Kuhn, he says McGregor was aggressive in the ring, as he was on the microphone. Hello? And when it comes to fighting in a cage, there's nothing more telling of a metric than victories per fight minute. When McGregor ranks fourth all time, that's only behind Rusev, Royce Gracie, and Don Frye, and ahead of legends like Victor Belfort, Frank Shamrock, Andre Arlovsky, and Frank Mir. His offensive striking stats were borderline ridiculous, and the emphatic way he finished opponents left little doubt that we were watching something rare and special. And while he's reeling from a loss now, and the other greats of the UFC in the same ranks all have their own losses, he'll be remembered for the wins and epic rants more than anything. And the last one is Mr. Campbell. With just 8 UFC fights in 3 years, McGregor's legacy is much more tied to his record-breaking ability to draw, which I said earlier. His showmanship and trash-talking skills remain without peer, maybe in all of sports. But inside the octagon, there's the feeling we never found out exactly how great he really was. What would have happened had Chad Mendez been provided a full training camp? How would the Jose Aldo fight have played out had it not ended shockingly in 13 seconds. McGregor couldn't be docked points for the fact that his biggest wins produced just as many questions as answers, but we also can't ignore that. Okay, so now we've got one more. We've got one more statement. Stephen A. not buying McGregor's early retirement. Ha ha! How about that? Okay, let me put this up there so y'all can hear it with me. Oops, well, he'll be on in just a minute. Well, your time right now is 6:25 on the West Coast, and it is 9:25 on the East Coast. And you're listening to In the Studio with Linus. Okay.
Dana White, when it comes to issues like this, is because of this reason and this reason only. Maybe not globally, but in the United States of America, as great of a sport as boxing is, and as much as I love it, even though I'm starving for a legitimate bona fide heavyweight champion, the reality is that boxing's popularity is compromised to some degree because promoters control the sport. And the fights that we want to see, when we want to see them, don't happen. Manny Pacquiao, Mayweather, perfect example. Mm-hmm. If you had a governing body overseeing the sport with some muscle, then you could have demanded that fight take place years earlier as opposed to years later when it did. That does not happen with Dana White and the UFC. When people tell the UFC, we want to see this match, Dana White usually makes it happen. And because of that is why, even though it's a pugilistic sport, it's very violent, we understand it, and if you're a fighter, those kind of every little thing helps, and you don't need to be distracted in any way. This is what you signed up for. This is what comes with it. And, again, Conor McGregor, stand-up guy. But I never heard of him having a problem with his promotional obligations when he was winning. Mm. You lose to Nate Diaz. You sign up for the rematch, and suddenly you don't want to deal with the promotional obligation. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can buy it. And I'm a fan of Conor McGregor. I really, really am. I love the guy. I love watching him fight. But in this particular instance, this is what comes with it, and you got to deal with that.
Okay. Well, now you have the rest of the story. The only thing I can say is if you have any comments or opinions about McGregor, please hit me up on Facebook.com/ The Essence of Success Radio Network. I'd be curious to hear what you, what my listeners have to say. So be curious. I'm not a big UFC fan, but that was just, boy, it was rolling today that you couldn't pass that up. It had to be talked about. All right, y'all, you ready for entertainment news? I know you are. Well, let's start it off. First thing first, Kobe Bryant. Well, congratulations. We're going to miss you. Brother, have to give it to you. You're good. You may not be Mr. Personality, but when you on the floor, shut them down. Shut them down, show up, and show out. Kobe Bryant retires in 60-point style. The Lower Merion High graduate just wrapped a 20-year career with his final game in Los Angeles against Utah. Bryant has seen his share of personal and professional career highs, 5 NBA championships, youngest player to reach 30,000 points, 2 times NBA Finals MVP, and Lowe's. The celebrity saluted Bryant in either by video or in attendance for his last game, including Magic Johnson, Jack Nicholson, Shaq, Taylor Swift, The Weeknd, Jay-Z, Kanye West, Kobe Bean, who has played with the Lakers his entire professional career, says their championship would have been the perfect exit. However, his 60 points against the Utah Jazz led the Lakers to a sweet victory for the final game of his professional career. Well, congratulations. We give you a hand, Kobe. Now find you something to do. Get on some network and start analyzing the games. Well, Morris Chestnut is producing and starring in the new thriller When the Brawl Breaks. Ooh, that was a good book. When the Brawl Breaks, if anybody out there has ever read that book, it was good. I don't, maybe there was a movie about it, but I know there was a book. The actor currently seen in Fox's TV Rosewood on Wednesday nights has recruited his Best Man co-star Regina Hall to play his big screen wife. Chestnut and Hall are a successful couple trying to have a baby. The problem begins when their perfect surrogate, played by Jazz Sinclair, becomes obsessed with the couple's life and wants to replace the wife. When the Bow Breaks opens in theaters this September. Excuse me, y'all. I need a little water. Okay. BET snatched up Scandal, but now TV's One got Empire. The top-rated Taraji P. Henderson, Terrence Howard drama will begin airing reruns from the first and second season this May on TV One that will begin with a marathon of episodes. Hello, somebody. Later this summer, Empire, co-creator and produced by Oscar nominee and Philly native Lee Daniels, will finish the rest of this summer with weekly airings on TV One. Well, is King James beating around the bush? The internet broke this week with NBA superstar LeBron James allegedly sent a digital message to Instagram model Rachel Bush. Did you say Instagram model? So she thinks she's a model. I mean, it ain't one of the big industries told her that. Okay, Bush shared the message, and it went viral. The problem, even though it seems like a little like, hey, what's up message, James is married to his high school sweetheart, Savannah Brinson, and they have three beautiful children. His camp has responded so far, but the model is speaking. Rachel Bush is pleading ignorance to James' married status, claiming she had no idea. Heffa, please. Where you come from? This ain't April 1st. This is the end of April. Stop playing a fool. Once she leaked the message, Bush looked a pretty good hit from critics as well. Ouch. I mean to tell you, like, you didn't know he was married. Girl, mm-mm. And LeBron, you ought to know better. Don't be that stupid. You didn't come too far to turn around. You should have learned from all them instances with your mama, okay? Don't be stupid. President Obama returns to the Garden State when he speaks at Rutgers University, 250th anniversary, commencement on May 15th. Well, it's Sierra versus Future. The saga continues. The two exes are still tied together, not just by their son, but by controversy. You know what? I don't know what's wrong with you, Future. You got five kids. Why are you only narrowing in on one? You got four other kids you need to spend some time with, okay? Don't let them babies' mamas raise up on you. Anyway, Sierra recently slapped Future with a $15 million defamation suit, claiming his comments to the media are ruining her reputation as a mother because Future has criticized the singer and her fiancé, Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl champ Russell Wilson. This week, Future countersued and in the process noted Sierra's career has seen better days. Then Sierra was presenting the nominations for the Billboard's Music Awards with rapper Ludacris on Good Morning America. When Future came up as a nominee, she didn't read his name. Ludacris quickly jumped in to acknowledge his fellow rapper's nomination, but that didn't stop tongues from wagging. The saga continues. Meanwhile, Ciara and Ludacris are hosting the Billboard Music Awards on ABC Sunday night, May 22nd. Write it on your calendars. And better news for Sierra, she is on the cover of the latest Exit magazine, and it's a Mother's Day issue. Yeah, it looks okay. Popular DJ Doug Banks has died from complications of diabetes. Banks was born in Philly and for a time was even heard in the city. The peak of his local broadcast career came in Chicago when he and Tom Joyner hosted the town's popular morning Joyner show and afternoon Banks Drive show as the Turnable Brothers. Both men eventually went on to syndication. Banks' most recent position was syndicated afternoons out of Chicago. Banks uses microphones to talk issues, support charities, and keep his audience informed. With an exact mix of education and entertainment, Doug Banks was 57 years old. The Essence Music Festival is happening in New Orleans June 30th through July 3rd. Write it down, y'all, because you know you're probably going to forget. So write it down and then go put it on your calendars. June 30th to July 3rd. Mariah Carey, Kendrick Lamar, Leon Bridges, The Return of Maxwell make up the headline card for this year's festival with more artists to come. And as they come out and I get more of the announcements, I will be sure and let you know on In the Studio. Well, it's another girl for comedian Eddie Murphy, the 55-year-old comedian who set box office records with his, like, Beverly Hills Cops, 48 Hours, Boomerang, Coming to America, and Dreamgirls is expecting his ninth child with girlfriend, 36-year-old model Paige Butcher. Hope she ain't an Instagram model. This will be Murphy's sixth daughter. The baby is due in November. Meanwhile, Murphy has a new film called Mr. Church, premiering later this year, and is expected to do another turn as Axel Foley for a fourth Beverly Hills Cops movie. Well, congratulations to your new baby coming, your sixth daughter and ninth child. Wish you the very best. Well, scoopity scoop. Liza Minnelli is staying silent over the death of her ex-husband, David Guest, because you know he just died. The two were married in a lavish ceremony that includes guests Elton John, Donald Trump, Joan Collins, Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor. This was in 2002, y'all. You remember now? Okay. Anyway, they split after about 16 months of marriage, and they divorced in 2007. Now, scoopity scoop, among their problems, his accusations of spousal abuse, drunken rages, and transmitting an STD. Not to mention all those rumors of Guest being gay didn't help matters. Guest was a concert promoter and reality TV producer who already had strong Hollywood connections before he married the Oscar winner. In 2001, he produced his friend Michael Jackson's 30th anniversary celebration, which became the history's highest-rated musical TV special. Minnelli's reps confirmed she won't be commenting. David Guest was found dead in London at the age of 62. Miley Cyrus and Alicia Keys are coming to NBC's The Voice. Okay, I could see Alicia Keys, Miley Cyrus. Okay. They will both be on the singing reality show as coaches, replacing Pharrell Williams. Oh, he's leaving. And Christina Aguilera this fall. Cyrus is an advisor this season, and Keys did a stint back in 2014. While American Idol is going away, NBC says The Voice is still going strong and will be back on their lineup. Well, Alicia, you are an educated musician. You not only play, you compose, you arrange, you write, and you sing. Now, Miley, on the other hand, you're a good little actress when you was on Disney. You're singing, you know, for that little pop culture, I guess it's okay. To help somebody how to sing, honey, you ain't even old enough to know how to piss well, let alone teach somebody singing, especially these people that are like in their 20s or 30s trying to boost their career and get somewhere. But Alicia, I could see. But, you know, Miley, I wish you the best. Who knows? You might turn out to be a very good coach. So, at the movies this Friday is Barbershop 3, The Next Cut. Ice Cube, Anthony Anderson, Eve, Cedric the Entertainer, Welcome Common, Regina Hall, J.B. Smoove, and Nicki Minaj to the cast. Oh, gosh, you'll love it. Barbershop 3, The Next Cut, directed by Malcolm D. Lee, the same guy who did The Best Man. So far, we've heard that the movie is fantastic. Go out and support Ice Cube and see the movie, please. All right. Three legends team up: John Legend, acting legend Joe Papa Pope Morton, and comedy legend Dick Gregory. Turn Me Loose is one-man play about the life and times of author, health, food guru, civil rights icon, comedy pioneer, social commentator, Dick Gregory. Singer John Legend is producing Emmy Award-winning actor Joe Morton from Scandal is playing Gregory. Oh, you'll be good in that. Ah, I wish I could go, boy, I bet it's going to show in New York. The now 83-year-old comedy predecessor to Bill Cosby, Richard Pryor, George Carlin, Eddie Murphy, was well on his way to mainstream crossover success in comedy when he gave it all up for the civil rights movement. Gregory never stopped performing and still does so today. Scandal's Joe Morton talked about the challenges of playing Gregory, including his famous conspiracy theories, many of which have been proven true over the years. Hello, somebody. You know that's my favorite line. And speaking of Scandal, Kerry Washington sat down with Oprah and discussed her Adweek Photoshop cover. Last week when the cover ignited controversy, an exec with Adweek took to social media and confessed only to adding volume to Washington's hair. Washington, speaking with the Mighty O at their own Super Soul Sessions in L.A., said Photoshopping isn't the devil, and there are days or occasions where it's helpful, but Washington also said what Adweek did went beyond that. The Emmy nominee says it's not okay to make her feel like the way she looks is not enough because she knows she is. Well, say that then, sister girl. Go on now. Hush your mouth. Willow Smith is on the cover of Teen Vogue. The daughter of Will and Jada Pinkett Smith is discussing her career, education, plans, and creating herself as opposed to finding herself. Oh. I don't know how I would take that. Creating herself opposed to finding herself. Well, if you create yourself, you're going to find yourself, aren't you? I don't know. But, y'all, her picture on Teen Vogue, she is a pretty girl. I'll give her that. She's beautiful. But she got that ring through her nose that hangs down to your lips, and she got the thick metal through her ear. Sorry. You're a pretty girl, but honey, but hey, God bless you, you know. Every generation is different, and you come with something a little bit more classy or fun or upbeat. So, hey, you go for it, Willow. Do you, girlfriend? Do you. Singer, actress, Disney star Zendaya, and actress Gugu McBath-Raw are among the cover girls for the May edition of Marie Claire. Ebony Magazine has Grammy winner Chrisette Michele, Philly's own songstress Jasmine Sullivan, and actress Danielle Brooks of Orange is the New Black, and blogger and swimwear designer Gabby Fresh for The Body Issue. Women of all sizes take center stage for this month's edition. Hello, somebody. Oscar winner Lupita covers April's In Style magazine spring fashion issue, and Beyonce is on the cover of May's Ellie magazine, and she's introducing new talent through her new record label, Parkwood Entertainment. Well, get on. I didn't know you done did that. Rihanna is on the cover of April's Vogue magazine for their fashion's new wave issue. All right, and that is your entertainment news. We're going to take another quick break, and I'll just be right on back. Okay. We're back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network at Blog Talk Radio. Your time right now is 6:45 on the West Coast and 9:45 on the East Coast. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed the entertainment news. Now, you know I haven't done this in a few weeks, so I'm doing it tonight. News of the weird. You know, they'll get you laughing. We need laughter, huh? Laughter's always good. But it's good to have news that you can laugh at as well, that is always not so serious, with so much politician between Trump. Oh, and if you don't know, Trump's run the Republican in New York, and Hillary Clinton won the Democratic nomination for New York. Okay. Okay, so this is News of the Weird, where the stories are just, you don't know whether to believe them or not, but it did happen. It's just like, really? Okay, this one is called O Canada. Latest behavior standards. Number one, the town council in Bracebridge, Ontario, approved a new municipal bylaw in March, ending existing prohibitions on people engaging in yelling, shouting, or similar noises. Other noise controls, such as in audio devices or by humans, between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. remain in effect. So, damn it, you people in Bracebridge, you better not fart or belch. Also in March, the city council in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, was considering a proposed anti-bullying bylaw prohibiting gossip or, according to the National Post, rumor-mongering, name-calling, taunting, mocking, and ostracizing, not only in the streets and park, but in public places such as bars and restaurants. Well, all righty then. I guess y'all behave back there in Saskatoon, huh? The underrated goldfish. This is one of these stories, y'all, where you go, this story came out April 1st. And it's not April Fool's, but it came out April 1st. Veterinarian Tristan Rich in Melbourne, Australia, was credited in March with saving the life of a 9-year-old goldfish, Bubbles, by removing its brain tumor. Dr. Rich had to first figure out how to keep Bubbles out of water long enough to operate, but finally rigged a contraption to continually splash water over the gills. That was Dr. Rich's second heroic goldfish surgery. Bubbles' breed was not reported. Of course, ordinary goldfish, you know, y'all can purchase them for a dollar. Okay, anyway, now, least competent criminals. Bad enough that Alfonso Mobley Jr., 26, is a sovereign citizen, self-proclaimed as exempt from obeying the laws or paying taxes. But on April 5th, he also lost both hands when a bomb he was working on exploded in Columbus, Ohio. Damn. Okay, I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry. The bomb was made of the same material as that in the November terrorist attacks in Paris. Ooh. A 2010 FBI report labeled sovereign citizens a domestic terrorist group, but Mobley's associate, who was not hurt, told police the bomb was to be simply a diversion for their planned bank or armored car robbery. Ain't this something? Armored car robbery. That's what you get. Uh-huh. Now you don't even have hands to write about taxes. Who you going to pay now? Reoccurring themes. Number one, first it was past Afarikans of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster insisting on wearing colanders for driver license photos. Then in Portland, Oregon, last year, a man who goes by Bishop insisted on his own driver's license, religious covering, a fox. religious covering, a fox. A fox hat to honor his seven drums religion. Oh, Lord. The DMV turned him down, but in March 2016, he won his appeal. Oh, yeah, you know he should be on the funny farm with the quickness, because he's special. In the latest episode, number two, in the latest episode of An Over-the-Top Obsessive Cat, Sarah Nathan's Bridget, age six, had her cover blown in March when she collected a dozen boxer briefs and about 60 socks, all apparently klepto-lifted from neighbors in Hamilton, New Zealand. Nathan admitted that she may ultimately have to stash some underwear around her farm just to keep Bridget stimulated. Damn, what's wrong with this cat? She a pervert, huh? And she's a female. She must be a pervert. She likes draws. Ooh-wee. Scared of you, girlfriend. The varsity girls basketball team at predominantly white Kenmore East High School near Buffalo, New York, have for several years psyched themselves up in a pregame locker room ritual by chanting inexplicably, 1, 2, 3, N-word plural. What? 1, 2, 3, N-word plural. Okay. Before running out onto the court, although the white players called use of the word a tradition passed down from year to year and not a racial label, the team's only black player, not surprisingly, had a problem with it and reported it to school officials. According to a December 2011 Buffalo News report, it was always a player's only tradition, and no adult was aware of the chant. But upon learning of it, officials immediately banned it. Yeah, whatever helps you to sleep at night, okay? That's a bunch of BS. Whatever helps you to sleep at night. And it said a tradition that had been handed down for years and years. 1, 2, 3, NS. Yeah, okay. Whatever helps you to sleep at night. But anyway, well, I hope that y'all have enjoyed the show tonight. I've enjoyed bringing it to you. And let's see what's going to happen with the UFC. That's going to be really interesting. Really interesting to find out what McGregor's going to do, if he's going to stick to retiring early or is he going to come back. Because he is being a wuss just because he lost his first fight. And then he don't want to, you know, for the rematch, he didn't want to go out and do the promos for it. But anyway, we shall see. We'll keep an eye on it, and I'll keep you up to date about it, or keep y'all in the loop. So thank you, everybody, for listening around the world as well as in the chat room or on the phone. I enjoyed you, and I hope you enjoy the show. Now be sure and listen in tomorrow at 4 o'clock is High School Agenda with Bakia Green. You will really, if you have any children that are teenagers or grandchildren that are teenagers, have them tune in to blogtalkradio.com/Linus to High School Agenda, or either go to Blog Talk Radio and put in High School Agenda. And I tell you, these teenagers, they are so amazing. They need to do more stories about the good things that these young folks are doing instead of always talking about who got shot or who's pregnant or whatever. There are kids out here that are getting an education, giving back to the community, and are doing very good in their lives. So if you get a chance, do that tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. on the East Coast High School Agenda. And on Friday, I'm back with Friday Traffic Jams. That's right. I was gone for about a year. I went over to Spreaker, tried their little DJ stuff out, but I'm back. So listen for me Friday at 4 p.m., Friday Traffic Jams. And I think what I'm going to do is, Luther Vandross, and Luther Vandross and somebody else. Anyway, I'll post it on my page. Look on my page, Facebook, the Essence of Success Network, and you'll see what's coming up. All right, have a good one, y'all. And if no one's told you they love you today, I do. And have a good rest of the week. All right? Now.